A happy Sabbath once again, dear ones, and welcome to our main church service. Very high Sabbath today as we're going to be celebrating the foot washing and communion services. And glad to have you in fellowship with us. Also welcome to those on the phone, those listening to the recording, those joining us on WLMR Radio, and what a privilege it is to be able to gather together to worship our God in spirit and in truth, especially as we see the end coming nearer. We're one day closer to the coming of our Lord, a day closer to the great controversy winding up and closing, a day closer to eternity, dear ones. And so these times that we can gather together are definitely privileges that we need to take advantage of. And what a joy it is. So welcome again and happy Sabbath. And our opening song is aptly titled, We Gather Together. We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. He chastens and hastens his will to make known. The wicked oppressing now cease from distressing. Sing praises to his name, he forgets not his own. Beside us to guide us, our God with us joining. Ordaining, maintaining his kingdom divine. So from the beginning the fight we were winning. Thou, Lord, were at our side, all glory be thine. We all do extol thee, thou leader triumphant. And pray that thou still our defender wilt be. Let thy congregation escape tribulation. Thy name be ever praised, O Lord, make us free. And praise his holy name, that when we come to Jesus, he will give us the truth that will make us free indeed. And he will forgive us our sins that also make us free indeed. And this is the reason we gather together, especially on Sabbath days like this, to honor our Lord through the foot washing and communion service. But before we enter into this service, let us please bow our heads and our knees for opening prayer. Our beloved Father in heaven, we thank you so much for being in our midst, and we pray that your presence will continue to dwell with us as an honored and exalted guest. We give you full control of this meeting, and I pray that each listening heart will open their door for you to come in and indeed be with us in fellowship today. Allow the atmosphere of joy, love, peace that surrounds you and your throne to be the atmosphere that envelops each one of us, that we might be lifted away from the cares of this life and to receive a great refreshing from above and a reviving of our spiritual life. And thank you, Father, for doing so. Dear Savior, we thank you for being here and pray that your presence will continue to be with us. Please dispel darkness in our hearts. Fill us with your light, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance, and truth, that we might indeed grow thereby and become more like you in character than we were before this meeting. Dear Spirit, we also thank you for being here and pray that you will continue to work within us the transformation from unholiness to holiness, from error to light, from sin to righteousness, and from self to Jesus Christ. Continue to convict us of our sins and of righteousness and of judgment, and please help us to be in the right frame of mind to receive the greatest blessings possible from our partaking in these services today. Father, we thank you that the earth is indeed being filled with your glory, more today than yesterday and more tomorrow than today. Thank you for granting each one of us a part to play in your great work that no one else can accomplish but us. And thank you for the grace and the strength, the courage and the energy to accomplish the purpose for which we have been given life. And that is to glorify God, for the hour of his judgment is come. I pray, dear Father, that you'll continue to hear and answer the prayers and petitions that have been offered by thy people in this room and by thy people all around the world. Be especially with Sister Lynn's brother, Weston, and please work a way of salvation to him in his life as well as in his work situation. Provide a way of escape if necessary, or provide a way in which the problems will ease up and that he will be given more grace and strength to endure if necessary for your glory and honor. Also pray that you'll be with Sister Lynn's cousin, who is in the hospital, and please help a right diagnosis to be given and a proper treatment rendered, but especially leading the heart of her dear cousin to rest and to trust in thee, who is their great physician. We also pray for the evangelistic efforts and the spreading of the truth by all of thy workers around the world. And please help the efforts of our dear brother James and Sister Lucy in Australia in reaching out to Sabbath keepers with the message of present truth, as well as to Sunday keepers with the message of salvation. And thank you so much for doing so. Be with those who have a silent request for your divine intervention in their lives and situations, and thank you so much for knowing who these are and for already working for their welfare. And thank you so much, dear Father, for doing so. So please, dear Godhead, be with us now, and thank you so much for allowing us to gather together. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So welcome again, dear brothers and sisters. And the foot washing service occurs before the communion service, and so we'll turn our attention to the preparation for the foot washing service. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes and the quotes I'll be referring to today, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/SDA forward slash ID1252.htm. Now, if you look at quote number one, dealing with the foot washing, we find in John chapter 13, verses 1 to 17, and it states, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil now having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he saith unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. So because our Lord has washed the feet as an example, then we should do the same. And happy will we be if we do so, because we are following the example of our Lord. But what did Christ mean when he mentioned to Peter that if he wasn't washed by Christ, then he had no part with Christ? And because Peter had been washed already, but now had become soiled in his feet, that he only needed to have his feet washed in order to be completely cleansed once again. What did all that mean? What is the purpose for this foot washing service? You look at quote number two from Desire of Ages, page 646 to 651. Solemnly, Christ said to Peter, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. The service which Peter refused was the type of a higher cleansing. Christ had come to wash the heart from the stain of sin. In refusing to allow Christ to wash his feet, Peter was refusing the higher cleansing included in the lower. He was really rejecting his Lord. So Christ had come to Peter to wash him clean, to wash his heart from all the stain of sin. And when Peter refused this service of Christ, he was rejecting Christ. Continuing. It is not humiliating to the master to allow him to work for our purification. The truest humility is to receive with thankful heart any provision made in our behalf and with earnestness to do service for Christ. So when Peter said, "Lord, you're not going to wash my feet," that was not humility. That was being prideful. And pride rejects Christ's help, thus rejects Christ. The truest humility accepts with a grateful heart any provision, any help that will benefit us in this walk with the Lord. Continuing. Like Peter and his brethren, we too have been washed in the blood of Christ, yet often through contact with evil, the heart's purity is soiled. We must come to Christ for his cleansing grace. Peter shrank from bringing his soiled feet in contact with the hands of his Lord and Master. But how often we bring our sinful, polluted hearts in contact with the heart of Christ? How grievous to him is our evil temper, our vanity and pride. Yet all our infirmity and defilement we must bring to him. He alone can wash us clean. We are not prepared for communion with him unless cleansed by his efficacy. So that's why the foot washing service is performed before communion, before we partake of the symbol of the body and blood of Christ. Our hearts must first be cleansed from our infirmity and defilement. So even though we've accepted Christ and all our past sins have been washed away by his blood and we are clean, yet after our conversion to Christ, our hearts have become soiled with the dirt of sin. And they need to be cleansed. And only Christ can cleanse it. Only he can wash us clean. That's what this foot washing service is designed to do, to cleanse our hearts from the contamination of sin that we've committed after we have accepted the Lord as our Savior and since the last communion service that we partook of. So foot washing is a symbol of the higher cleansing, washing our hearts and purifying them through Christ's efficacy, his precious merits in our behalf. Continuing. This ordinance is Christ's appointed preparation for the sacramental service. While pride, variance, and strife for supremacy are cherished, the heart cannot enter into fellowship with Christ. So what prevents us from gaining the blessings of the communion service? What prevents us from entering into fellowship with our Savior? Pride, so we need to be humble. Variance, and strive for supremacy. These all need to be washed away from our hearts. Contention, argument, which are just various ways of describing variance, need to be removed from our hearts. Strife for supremacy over others. That desire to put someone down that you may be greater over him needs to be washed away from our hearts. That's what this foot washing service is designed to do. So it's not just the act of washing another's feet, but it's the symbol of Christ washing our hearts from all these contaminating characteristics. And that's why this service is to be done more than once a year, so that our hearts are continually being cleansed by the merits of our Savior. And when we recognize that we have allowed these things to corrupt our hearts since the last time we met, it shows how dangerous it is to trust in your own heart, your own thinking, your own understanding. And thus it brings us to humility. How could I allow this to enter into my heart after I've already been cleansed by my Savior's blood, merits, and righteousness? And we're all subject to allowing these things to enter into our hearts, sometimes unaware. So like Peter and his brethren, we too have been washed by the blood of Christ, yet often our hearts become impure by contact with evil, and we must come to Christ for the cleansing grace. And this ordinance of foot washing is Christ's appointed preparation for the next service, which is communion. And while pride, variance, and strife for supremacy are in our hearts, we cannot enter into fellowship with Christ. We won't gain the blessings that he has ready to bestow upon us if we have pride, variance, and strife for supremacy in our hearts. Continuing. We are not prepared to receive the communion of his body and his blood. Therefore, it was that Jesus appointed the memorial of his humiliation to be first observed. As they come to this ordinance, the children of God should bring to remembrance the words of the Lord of life and glory. Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. There is in man a disposition to esteem himself more highly than his brother, to work for self, to seek the highest place. And often this results in evil surmisings and bitterness of spirit. The ordinance preceding the Lord's Supper is to clear away these misunderstandings, to bring man out of his selfishness, down from his stilts of self-exaltation, to the humility of heart that will lead him to serve his brother. So, if you have bitterness of spirit towards another, if you've surmised about their actions or words towards you that have been negative and evil, instead of giving them the benefit of the doubt that there was nothing intentionally meant to hurt or harm you, then this ordinance of foot washing is for you to go to them and them to come to you and seek to solve the matter and clear it away by each being willing to humble your hearts and wash their feet. If you do so, then they're no longer your enemy. They're your fellow brother or sister in the faith. That's what this service is designed to do, to bring us back into unity one with another, to restore brotherly and sisterly love in our hearts for all our brothers and sisters in the faith. And what a great blessing we'll receive when all of that strife and bitterness, that animosity, is gone. What greater joy can there be when there's nothing to hinder that joy from occurring? That's what this service is designed to do, to bring us into oneness and harmony and joyfulness with each other, so that together, arm in arm, we can then go into the communion service and receive the greatest blessing of all, fellowship and communion with our Godhead. But will we comply with this spiritual insight and truth, this instruction? Or will we cling to our bitterness, our strife, as something to be cherished more than loving another? Continuing. The Holy Watcher from heaven is present at this season to make it one of soul searching, of conviction of sin, and of the blessed assurance of sins forgiven. Christ in the fullness of his grace is there to change the current of the thoughts that have been running in selfish channels. The Holy Spirit quickens the sensibilities of those who follow the example of their Lord. As the Savior's humiliation for us is remembered, thought links with thought. A chain of memories is called up. Memories of God's great goodness and of the favor and tenderness of earthly friends. Blessings forgotten, mercies abused, kindnesses slighted are called to mind. Roots of bitterness that have crowded out the precious plant of love are made manifest. Defects of character, neglect of duties, ingratitude to God, coldness toward our brethren are all called to remembrance. Sin is seen in the light in which God views it. Our thoughts are not thoughts of self-complacency, but of severe self-censure and humiliation. The mind is energized to break down every barrier that has caused alienation. Evil thinking and evil speaking are put away. Sins are confessed. they are forgiven. The subduing grace of Christ comes into the soul, and the love of Christ draws hearts together in a blessed unity. That's what this service is designed to do, and thus prepare our hearts to receive the great blessings of the next service, which is partaking of the symbol of the body and blood of our Savior. So this preparatory service, this service of humility, is designed to humble self in the dust that Christ might only be revealed instead. It's designed for self to be fully crucified, dead, and buried out of sight, that we might truly be drawn together in a blessed unity, all in the love of Christ. If His love is in our hearts, then we will love one another just as He loves them. But if Christ is not dwelling in us, then there's no way we can love one another just as He loves them, because self crowds out love for others. So, dear ones, let us indeed open our hearts to the working of the Holy Watcher from heaven, workings of the Holy Spirit upon us. And please, Spirit, bring to our remembrance anything that we need to humbly confess and forsake, so that there will be nothing of self to keep us from receiving the blessings that are waiting for us in the next service. And this is my prayer. And dear ones, I would like to ask for your forgiveness for not manifesting a more brotherly love and interest in all of your welfare. I should be more communicative with each one of you, and that is a weakness that I must overcome, becoming so busy in other things that I do not have time left to contact you and spend time with you as my brother and sister in the faith. So please forgive me for this lack. And I do help with God's grace and also with your permission to be much more in communication with each one of you. And please send me an email with your phone number so that I may accomplish this purpose. And thank you.
Of fountain hill.
Welcome again, dear ones, and now that the foot washing service has been performed and we enter into the communion service, there's some counsel given in preparation for this service that I would like to go over before we actually partake of the body and the blood of our Savior and symbol. And again, if you'd like to follow along with the quotes that I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/SDA/ID1252.htm. And quote number one, taken from Desire of Ages, page 659 and 660. Is the following. But the communion service was not to be a season of sorrowing. This was not its purpose. As the Lord's disciples gather about his table, they are not to remember and lament their shortcomings. They are not to dwell upon their past religious experience, whether that experience has been elevating or depressing. They are not to recall the differences between them and their brethren. The preparatory service, or the foot washing service, has embraced all this. The self-examination, the confession of sin, the reconciling of differences has all been done. Now they come to meet with Christ. They are not to stand in the shadow of the cross, but in its saving light. They are to open the soul to the bright beams of the Sun of Righteousness. With hearts cleansed by Christ's most precious blood, in full consciousness of his presence, although unseen, they are to hear his words, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." John 14:27. Our Lord says, "Under conviction of sin, remember that I died for you. When oppressed and persecuted and afflicted for my sake in the Gospels, remember my love, so great that for you I gave my life. When your duties appear stern and severe, and your burdens too heavy to bear, remember that for your sake I endured the cross, despising the shame. When your heart shrinks from the trying ordeal, remember that your Redeemer liveth to make intercession for you." So in other words, we're not to focus on what we're going through. We're to look away from that, look up to Jesus, and focus on him. Continuing. The communion service points to Christ's second coming. It was designed to keep this hope vivid in the minds of the disciples. These are the things we are never to forget. The love of Jesus, with its constraining power, is to be kept fresh in our memory. Christ has instituted this service that it may speak to our senses of the love of God that has been expressed in our behalf. There can be no union between our souls and God except through Christ. The union and love between brother and brother must be cemented and rendered eternal by the love of Jesus. And nothing less than the death of Christ could make his love efficacious for us. It is only because of his death that we can look with joy to the second coming. His sacrifice is the center of our hope. Upon this, we must fix our faith. So Christ's death, his resurrection, and then ascension to heaven were to fix our faith upon. His death is to be our death to sin. His resurrection is to be our resurrection to life without sin. And his second coming is to take us off of this sin-cursed world home forevermore. That's something to be joyful about. That's something to raise our voices in praise and adoration to the Lamb of God, which has taken away our sins and made possible a life of holiness. So this service of communion is to be a happy occasion, not a sorrowing occasion. We're to put the things that we've confessed in the past and leave them there, and we're now to go forward into this service looking upon Christ and being anxious for him to return and take us home, and how joyful we're going to be when that happens. And with that in mind, let us now enter into this service. And before we read from 1 Corinthians 11, I would ask that those that are administering the service of the bread and the grape juice to please get the bread ready to pass out. And thank you for doing so. Quote number 2 from 1 Corinthians 11, 23-6. For I have received of the Lord Jesus that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. And let us please bow our heads. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for allowing our Savior to come down, and Savior, for sacrificing yourself, giving up your body, that we might be able to have your righteousness a part of us, taking our place on the cross and suffering for our sins, that we might take your place in heaven next to the throne of God and have your righteousness. Thank you, Savior, so much for your great sacrifice. Thank you so much for coming back to take us home. And we long for your soon return. We long to be able to say, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. He has come to take us home to the wedding, and we are overjoyed at being connected with him. Thank you, Savior, for making this all possible. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. And now please pass around the bread if you have not yet done so, and please go ahead and eat it. And amen. Praise God. And now, those that are officiating, please have the grape juice ready and go ahead and pass it out, but please do not drink of it yet. And I'll give you a few moments to do so. Shall we pray? Precious Father, again we thank you, and dear Savior, we praise thy holy name for spilling your blood that we might be washed and cleansed by it and made white. Thank you so much for providing for us your precious robe of righteousness, that we might indeed be presented before the Father perfect in you, and may thereby grow more and more into your likeness, day by day, moment by moment, until we become you. Again, thank you, Savior, for coming soon and taking home all of your precious followers, those that have made a covenant with you through sacrifice. Thank you for your great sacrifice for us. And thank you especially for being our God. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Continuing in 1 Corinthians 11, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. And now please drink the grape juice. And amen. Praise the Lord indeed. Praise his holy name. Honor and thanksgiving and riches and praise and glory be given to the Lamb and to him that sitteth on the throne forever and ever. And this foot washing and communion service were to celebrate more than just once a year. Just as we're to have our hearts cleansed more than just once a year, so we are to celebrate this service of humility as well as celebrating the Lord's death till he come and take us home. And what a joy it is to come closer to Christ and to come closer in unity and true brother and sistership with one another. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Now, the scriptures also declare that when the Lord's Supper was over, that as they were leaving that upper chamber to go to the Garden of Gethsemane, they sang a hymn in praise to God. And so, in closing this service today, we have a hymn called Even at the Door. The coming King is at the door, who once the cross for sinners bore. But now the righteous one's alone, he comes to gather home. At the door, at the door, at the door, yes, even at the door, he is coming, he is coming. He is even at the door. The signs that show his coming near are fast fulfilling year by year. And soon we'll hail the glorious dawn of heaven's eternal morn. At the door, at the door, at the door, yes, even at the door. He is coming, he is coming. He is even at the door.
Look not on earth for strife to cease. Look not below for joy and peace. Until the Savior comes again to banish death and sin. At the door, at the door, at the door, yes, even at the door. He's coming, he's coming, he is even at the door.
Then in the glorious earth made new, will dwell the countless ages through. This mortal shall immortal be, and time eternity. At the door, at the door, yes, even at the door. He is coming again, he is coming, he is even at the door.
Amen. And thank you, dear ones. And it's true. The signs of the time reveal that the coming of our Lord draweth nigh. So let us indeed watch, pray, and be active in following the truth, in living the truth, and in sharing the truth with others. And especially, let us not spend our time in variance, in strife, in disunion and dissension, but in uplifting the Lord, who is the truth, because he's even at the doors.
Praise the Lord, and blessed Sabbath to all the dear brethren, and it's so good to be in fellowship and communion with you today on this high Sabbath. And I just want to praise the Lord, truly praise him from the depths of my being. Amen, dear sister. He alone is worthy to be praised. And it's so good to see all the brethren, and especially our dear brother Rodolfo, because we know of all the devastation that Mexico is having at the moment, and so praise him. Praise the Lord to have been able to come in with us today and sup with us. And I praise the Lord for all the brethren and all the beautiful brethren and sisternship that we've had together, and the truly, as never before, at least for me, this communion service has really touched my heart. And I just want to praise the Lord, because even God knows the victory that was won, even for me just to be here today. So I thank him and praise him for his goodness and for his mercy. And I, by God's grace, want to see him one day face to face. And so if I don't say it enough, but I do love you all. And may God's richest blessings be on you for this Sabbath and continuing throughout the week.
I wonder if we oftentimes realize or don't realize the blessing that's ours at the time. Imagine what the disciples must have thought later after Christ's ascension. I had supper with the King of the universe. He washed my feet. I'm ashamed I should have washed his. You know, those kind of thoughts crossed my mind several times. I'd have loved to have been there, but I think I'm going to love being where I am more because I'll get to see him come.
Amen, dear brother. And what a thought, you know, to actually imagine yourself being right there in that upper room and perhaps even being one of the disciples in that upper room, you know, and witnessing and experiencing and feeling the Lord and Master taking your foot, putting it into the water, washing all the dirt away, drying your foot with the towel that he was girded with, and then taking your other foot and doing the same thing. You know, there definitely would not be any thoughts of pride and self-exaltation over the Lord or over anyone else, because you'd be focused on the Lord taking the time to manifest such mercy and love for you, to cleanse you with his own personal attention and actions. Yeah, that's true. A comment in the room says he never got his feet washed. That's true, and he didn't complain about that. Even though it was his right, I guess you could say, that every single one of the disciples should have been there to wash his feet. He never complained about his own rights being abused. But he did indeed come to the defense of his disciples. And amen. It is a high and privileged honor to have the Savior come to us individually and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As unworthy as we are. And he doesn't look upon it as a drudging service. He looks upon it as a loving service. Just as a father or a mother would pick up their children that had fallen down in a mud puddle and were crying, would pick them up and wash them off and dry them, comforting them. So the Savior does to each one of us. What a wonderful and merciful Savior he is. And we love you, Jesus. There's a question about if we have not made things right with our brothers and sisters before communion, should we partake of communion anyways? And the foot washing service was designed to be amongst a group of individuals all gathered in one place. That's what this foot washing and communion service was originally designed to be. And so it would be very easy that if there was a particular brother or sister in your midst that you had something against, or they had something against you, to get it all solved right there and then before communion took place. But since we're having this foot washing and communion service over the internet, and we're not all gathered together in one place, then it becomes impossible for you to actually clear matters up in the 20 minutes that we have between services here, because that would involve you having to communicate with the individual wherever they may be. And you might be able to call and talk to them, or you may not. So it becomes nearly impossible to do it on the very day that we have foot washing and communion. But that's what its purpose was to be and to do. So if you know that there are brothers and sisters that you have something against or they have something against you, and you know that communion service is coming up the next Sabbath, then take the time beforehand to communicate with that individual and seek to have everything cleared up before we come into the foot washing and communion service. And then you know that everything is going to be okay for you to partake of communion. But if there's no way to contact the individual to wash their feet in a way over the phone, then that matter is not cleared up. That matter is left uncleared. And whether you should then partake of communion or not is between you and God, because God reads the heart and he knows whether you've done everything that you possibly can or have not done everything you possibly can to clear the matter up before communion. So it's the foot washing purpose was to clear all the matter up so that you may receive the blessing of the communion service. And if that matter is not all cleared up, then you will not receive that blessing. But again, God knows whether you've done everything you can to try and solve the issue, and whether there needs to be more time involved to get that issue solved. So it's a matter you have to take to God to see if you have peace at heart to enter into the communion service as we're over the internet here and not all together in one room. But I would definitely encourage you to try and get the matter cleared up as soon as possible before the next foot washing and communion service occurs. Are there any other thoughts? Let's see, another comment in the room. It says, if they won't talk to you, you can at least send a note to say you forgive them and ask for their forgiveness. Another comment, it says, what if someone has done you wrong and they won't talk to you? And, you know, the Bible says after one or two admonitions, then stop trying. And we also have counsel in Matthew 18:15-18, that if the first try doesn't work, then you bring one or two others into the issue and hopefully the next try will work. And if they're members of your same home church fellowship, then you can bring the church into the issue, and maybe the third time we'll get them to change. We'll solve the issue. But if that doesn't work, then they're to be separated from fellowship. So it just depends. If they're members of your home church, then you have extra steps to follow besides the one or two. And if they're not members of your home church, then there's only one or two times that you can try. And if that doesn't solve the issue, then you sort of have to leave it in the hands of God and allow time for the Spirit to work on their hearts. Are there any other comments, any other questions, thoughts? Please feel free. Last Sabbath, when we had the sermon on Armageddon and the three frogs, there was a comment put in the room that Brother Josh had drew out a sketch or had painted a picture dealing with the three frogs, unclean spirit coming out of the mouth of the dragon and the mouth of the beast and the mouth of the false prophet. And there was a request for him to send that picture to me so that I could put it in the room to share with others. And he did so. And so let me put the picture in the room here. So thank you, Brother Josh. That's better than I could do. And that does indeed show the frog coming out of the dragon, out of the beast, and out of the false prophet. And that they go forth to deceive individuals and draw them together for the great day of God Almighty. And God has given the three angels messages to counter these lying spirits and to draw people to come directly to Jesus Christ, that they may be secured and safe away from destruction. Oh, the top picture is the plague of frogs in Egypt. Okay. And also, with Sister Susan's permission, I wasn't able to have her testimony put in the room last night, but I do have it available now and would like to share it. Okay, yes, she has given me permission. So let me go ahead and bring her testimony from YouTube up here and share it with you. Well, thank you, dear sister, and praise the Lord. I think there could have been a better singer to to be in the background, but the images were excellent, and I hope and pray that it will definitely touch hearts.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Hugs and love. Like I said once before, I can't sing because I don't want to scare anybody. I can't read because I'm on the phone and I can't see the whole screen. So this is my contribution. So praise the Lord, I have the opportunity to do this. You know, people on YouTube, everybody looks at different things. So I'm happy that the Lord has given me a way to witness more so than just handing out the tracts and so forth. And I love this church. I love everybody in it. The spirit here is just wonderful. And I'm just very grateful that the Lord has led me here and continues to bless me according to his will. Thank you, everybody. God bless. Hugs and love. Have an awesome week.
Well, thank you, dear sister. And we praise God for allowing you to be in fellowship with us as well. And I praise his holy name for allowing us all to come together in one place and to worship him in spirit and in truth. So, amen. And I went and put the link in the room here for others to be able to download the YouTube link and share it with others as the Lord leads. So, again, thank you, dear sister. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments, questions, songs, testimonies, anything else that you'd like to share? Please go right ahead. Dear ones, thank you so much for attending our fellowship today. Thank you so much for your brother and sistership. And thank you also for your prayers and for your love and thoughts for me and for each one of your brothers and sisters here. And praise God for allowing us to have the prospect of eternal life and the privilege of being washed and cleansed by the personal love, attention, and action of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for each one of us. Praise his holy name. And thank you. We do need to have closing prayer for our service, so let us please bow our heads and our knees, and whoever would like to offer that prayer, please feel free.
Loving Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege we've had today to come to this website, chat room, church, and celebrate the ordinance of humility and the Lord's Supper. Help us each one to realize the joy that must have filled parts of the disciples after Jesus went back to heaven to realize that they had gotten to celebrate the Lord's Supper with the Lord and not just with their brothers and sisters. We thank you for the message today, the blessings that you pour out upon each one. You know, there are prayer requests that have gone up to your throne today from those in this chat room and others that we don't know about. And we pray that you will answer them according to your will. Help us each one to prepare for heaven. We don't want to miss out on that event for sure. So forgive us for our trespasses and help us to overcome. What do people think of when they see us, when they hear us? That thought came home to me last night. My brother called. He was telling me of an experience he had had at a truck stop. He saw a truck with a car hauler, if you know what that is, a truck and trailer that hauls automobiles back and forth across the United States. He got out of his truck to go back and see what was going on and talk to the other driver, because drivers are forced to spend a lot of time off the road, at least 10 hours. And he fell to talking with the fellow, and the fellow was kind of in a jam, I guess you'd say. He was from Colorado, and up there he met a young girl. She was, said she was 18 or 19. I don't know whether he invited her or she him to a party, and they got drunk and did what drunk people do. They violated the seventh commandment. And then he invited her to go on the truck with him. And so she went with him, and they were headed for another state. Well, they got into some other state. I don't recall whether it was California or Arizona, New Mexico. But he stopped at a Walmart, and they did some shopping, came out and got in the truck and headed out. And all of a sudden he looked in his rearview mirror, and there was a police car back there with a red light on. He thought, well, maybe one of the chains came loose on my truck and he's going to warn me to hook up my chain. Or maybe the truck I'm hauling doesn't have a license plate and he'll think it's stolen. So he pulled over. He gets out of his truck and goes back there, and there's three policemen, and they arrest him, put cuffs on him right now. And he wants to know what's going on. They said, you're kidnapping a girl. And he said, no, I'm not kidnapping anybody. She came with me voluntarily. And they got the question in there, and they found out she was 17. Now he's in trouble for kidnapping a minor. Well, when they stop you, they're going to check you completely over, and they found marijuana on his truck. So they put him in the pokey for three items, could have gotten him for four or more. His boss bailed him out, and somehow he's back on the road. And he was talking to my brother, and my brother said, you know, the Lord loves you, sir. He wants to forgive you, but he can't bless you when you're breaking his law. You've done these things that you told me about, and your conscience told you that you shouldn't do those things. Yeah, you're right. Then the other fellow got a phone call, and he turned away to answer the phone. And my brother overheard him say, I'm talking to a man of God right now. I'll call you back. And that was an interesting way to identify my brother, he thought. And the guy came back and talked to him some more, and he said, you know, I knew when you got out of your truck and you were coming back to talk to me that you were a man of God. Do people see that in us? Do they see that in me? We have to be careful of our words and our actions, because had he been impressed that here was a man of God coming to talk to him, and then the conversation went where it should not have, what a bad impression he would have been left with by someone he thought was a Christian that might not have spoken as a Christian should. We never know when our witness is witnessing correctly, shall I say. Until he opened his mouth, he didn't know the guy thought he was a man of God. But after he spoke to him, he was sure of it, and he told his friend, I'm talking to a man of God right now. I'll call you back. That made me think, be careful what you say when you're, wherever you are, that whatever you say, you won't wish later, oh, man, I wish I hadn't said that. I had a chance to witness for the Lord, and instead, I witnessed for the devil. So keep this in mind as you go through the next week.
Amen, Brother Dick. And you remind me of a testimony that I needed to say today. As you said, how do they see us? And there's a testimony that last week something happened. I was walking with our dearest Christian sister. Her name is Charlene. I know some of the dear brethren know her. She was one of the sisters that was baptized with us back in October 2011. We were walking because we was going to our department store to change something that we had got for Joshua. And when we decided to walk, we walked it towards downtown. And we only had like a couple of blocks turning the corner. The sun was really, really hot. It was very hot over here. And the Lord impressed me to get on the bus. So she says, but no, Sister Rose, we only can be able to go just two more blocks. We can be able to go. And I said, no, let's take the bus. So when we got on the bus was crowded. And there was a lady right in front of me sitting in the chair. And she got off to stop before we was going to get off. And there was another lady that came up on the bus. And Joshy was saying, Mom, there's no seat. And then I said, it's okay. So the lady heard Josh and she said, you want to sit? Because the lady that was in front of me got up. And then I said, no, ma'am, you could go ahead and you could sit. And then she said, do your son want to sit? I said, no, not even him. He's younger than both of us. So you could go ahead and sit. And then she sat down. As she sat down, the lady held my hand. And the way she held my hand, the only thing she screamed out, please pray for me because I have been beaten at home. And when she said that, my heart poured out. I just closed my eyes and started to pray in the bus. And, you know, the people, I don't know what is it that they were actually thinking or anything in the background, but the only thing that came out of my spirit was to just start praying. So I started to pray out loud and started to pray and ask the Lord to not only give her deliverance, but that she may be able to find a way out. And as I was praying for the lady, there was a lady that was behind her that the only way we know that she's from our country, my parents' country, is that there are certain jewelry that they use that is identifiable to know that these people are coming from Panama. And when I came into the bus before the lady had came in, I was trying to find a way to see if I can be able to conversate with the lady behind the seat. And it happened that because of that prayer, I'm praying for this lady that had came in and she asked, I was able to even reach the person that was originally that the Lord wanted me to touch her. And the thing that was amazing after the prayer was that she says, you know, I had to go to Bible study today and I go to social search. So I was saying, you can take Jesus everywhere because you can become a temple to her. Because she was saying she was asking forgiveness because she didn't go to the Bible study. Amazingly, she didn't go to the Bible study, but the Lord allowed her to be in that same place at that very moment. And then when she finished talking, she says, I'm a missionary. And I said, wow, I am one too. And I gave her my card, and I gave the lady behind my card. And I was hoping that by God's grace, she'd not only take the card, but to read, because in the card itself, it gives you the message of the third angel's message and tell you to come out. So I'm praying. I don't know her name. The only thing I know is that the lady that was sitting and asking for prayer, if you look at her, you have that she's on the outside. You could see she was using the black skirt and the white shirt. You could see that she's in some kind of religion. Going towards that place, the way how I was dressed, I had a sport sweat you know, when you go and do exercise. Because here in New York, when you go into, like, the bus or any kind of transportation, I'm sorry, but they have a lot of critters. And when you do have certain clothing, you don't want anything to kind of crawl up on you. So I kind of have a phobia. But the thing that was amazing is that when we got off the bus, even Charlene and I said, who would have known that the law would actually place that individual at that very moment? Only God knows the heart. So I don't know the lady's name. I'm hoping by God's grace that she will use the card, that not only that we can be able to share the gospel with her, but to find an outlet, because I know a lot of people, they have been lied to come to the country saying that they are coming for certain things, and they become different type of slaves, because there's a very high movement of enslaving a lot of people from other countries to come here, and they become abused by different things, and they don't really know anyone, and they are so afraid because they might be in the country illegal. So for this young lady, I don't know her name, but I pray that you all can be able to just pray for her and ask the Lord that she not only can find a way out of the circumstances that she's in, but also out completely from the churches, where she can freely become the missionary for God according to His will. And thank you, Brother Dick, for giving us that testimony, because it kind of brought me to the testimony I was supposed to share today. I was leaving not even realizing that it was something that I needed to share with everyone. And thank you. And keep praying for us. In this place, they have so much people that are crying out, looking for light. And just pray that the Lord will give us the word to reach as much as possible.
Amen. And thank you, dear brother and sister, for sharing your testimonies. And let us please bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for arranging situations and circumstances so that the people that are hungering and thirsting to want to know truth, that need help, will come into contact with your servants and with the messages of truth. We pray for the trucker that was reached with the truth of Jesus accepting him through repentance and reformation, will take hold of his life, and that he may indeed repent of his sins and come to Jesus for salvation. And please work in his case to allow the charges against him to be lessened or perhaps dropped, for him to recognize without doubt that you are a living God, that we leave this in thy hands, for you know which is best. And please also be with the two ladies that our dear sister Rose witnessed to, and please work in their lives. Let them be curious of the information that was shared with them and given to them, and let them study it for themselves. And please, Spirit, be on hand to lead them into all truth and away from custom and tradition, and break the spell of false doctrine from their minds, and understanding that the truth as it is in Jesus may indeed take hold and bring about conversion. Be with all the rest of the individuals that have been witnessed to by all of thy servants around the world. And thank you for giving each of us a part to play in sharing the truth we know, however much or little that might be, but sharing it that others may find freedom in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's been a wonderful service, dear ones. But before we close, are there any other thoughts, testimonies, songs, anything else that you'd like to share? Please go right ahead. Well, until next time, may God bless you. May you keep looking up. May the love of God dwell more richly in your heart, and draw you ever closer to the Savior than the day before. And watch, pray, and be active in this precious message of salvation. So may God bless, dear ones, and looking forward to next time we fellowship. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. That we should be called the sons of God, that we should be called the daughters of God. 1 John 3:1. Keep looking up.